We got
no
game. We got a few out today. Joyce and Danny sick. Okay. Remember Bob there in Mobile. Ryan and Gabby are teaching Sunday school for the ones that are not here. Boy and Janet's not here. So like I said, when the when the cat's away, the mouse will play. But anyway, so we got I think Sister Barbara.
Cher's brother is
Cher's brother's in bad shape. That's correct. She sent us a
He had some problems and then went to the doctor and our hospital, and the cancer spread in his abdomen. So they recommended hospice, and Cher's real upset.
And then remember the Dale family and the Llewellyn family. Daddy's one of the older sisters that's still alive passed away last night. So we'll have to be at a funeral or viewing a couple of days. So just keep on your prayers. So anyway, good to have Sister Irene with us from the Philippines. Brother Vernon's wife finally got her over here to the United States, and she's having a wonderful time so far. So far?
Yeah.
So far, okay, all right. She's a sweet lady. I said it online, so it's got to be true. Let every soul be subject to the higher power. Now, we're still in the book of Romans, and we didn't get very far last Sunday. But maybe we'll get this chapter 13 finished. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. That's what we were talking about last Sunday a little bit. There is no power but of God. There's only one power. Satan only has permitted power. God permits Satan to work in a realm because God can't go against his word. He made Satan the anointed cherub. He's the one that made him that. So he's anointed. He's a cherub, and he was the right-hand man of God before the Bible says iniquity was found in his heart. So God can't take that away from him, but he's going to get rid of him. But God, yes. But there is only one power, and that is of God. All right? The powers that be are ordained of God. So what's Paul telling us? There is no power but God. So there's no power but God. Here's the power. All right. Then underneath that, he's got all these different levels. Right. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
Because the powers that be are ordained of God. So any other power you talk about is ordained of God. Even Satan's power.
Yeah.
It's ordained of God. Brother Brown said what? To drive us to Christ.
Amen.
Because he knew we would fall. I was thinking a little bit yesterday. You know, he didn't make us fall, but he knew we'd fall when he put Adam and Eve in flesh. He knew that fleshly part would overtake Adam and Eve, and they went against their whole inside being. They went against everything they'd seen before, and even in watching the animals procreate, you would think that Adam and Eve would get an idea before even Satan come in, you know, but they, Brother Brown said they were covered with a Holy Ghost veil, and that's what we're going back to. We're not going back to that. They had a Holy Ghost veil and they didn't have any clothes on, but you got to remember, once we come through sin and get dipped down in the flesh, and we come back up out of the flesh and go into the future home or even into a body change, he's going to change these bodies that we got, so he's put white robes on us, you know, so that we can have that Holy Ghost veil back on us. That's why I was thinking about this. Jim was mentioning the other day about a religion that I know very well, because I had two girls that worked with me that were both devout Mormons, I'm going to say. But they wore an undergarment, and that was their covering. That was their Holy Ghost. That was their, they wore a complete, like a union suit. We had old union suits, you know, they'd wear that. And that was their covering underneath them to keep them pure. Well, it didn't work. So, the only power to be is the one you can't see, and that's the one of the Holy Ghost. That's the one that'll not just cover to right here. We want it to go all the way in and work its way back out.
Exactly.
All right? So the powers that be are ordained of God. Even, look, therefore, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. In other words, the Bible says, if you can't take correction, you're what? A bastard child. So, in other words, you're over here with the Satan group, right?
Right.
Because there's two groups of people. Brother Brown said, you're either born again, Okay, you're either a child of God, we're going to put child. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. Mm-hmm. There's no in between. There's no tweeners in here. Come on, brother. Get in here. Get in here with a fire falling. But whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Now that's what we did in our life as a sinner. We resisted the very thing that would help us.
That's right.
Amen. We resisted that power. Now, that didn't make God's power any less.
That's right.
Because you're still a free moral agent. Even Satan, everybody's a free moral agent. Let's don't get into this, but it's some thought to think about. Even an angel has a free moral agency.
Yes.
Though they're not humans. Because remember, Satan sold them a lie, and a third of the angels bought it, and that was the fallen angels. But now part of them didn't, because you've got that angel that's with you, like Brother Dale can talk about. Brother Bram said God gives us all an angel. That's not a fallen angel.
No.
That angel's have come straight from God to protect the children of righteousness, to protect us through life.
Right.
Other than that, boy, look how we were. We didn't know it, but we had an angel. It's like Brother Branham always said, it's not some little spot or some eternal something inside of you. It was an anointing to me. It's an anointing that was around you even when you were a sinner. Remember Brother Brown said, you know, you'd be a sinner, you'd do something wrong, you'd get convicted a little more than the other guy.
Amen.
The other guy would just drink beer and carouse and all that and didn't bother him, and it still doesn't bother him.
That's right.
All right.
But you and I, they always, Brother Luis will tell you, even everybody that walked in the flesh for a while, there was always something that says, hey, that's not right. There was always some little check, you know. Well, to me, that was that anointing. Maybe not just a... I don't know if there's an angel, you know, creeping around behind you.
Right.
Could be. I don't know. Could be.
Right.
But there's an anointing around you at birth. Because if God knew you were going to receive the new birth at a certain time, you had to make it to that spot.
That's right.
And don't you think that guy right there knows it? And he's going to try to stop you.
He's creeping around behind you.
He's the one that's creeping. Yeah. Yeah, it's like Brother Larry says that when he leaves, he said, I'm going to do something that the devil will never do. I'm going to leave you. So that's what, and that's true. I mean, Satan's right there all the time. But we have that fire around us, like I was preaching on the other day. We have that fire around us, that anointing that keeps us.
Right.
Now, it don't make us do right.
No, that's right.
Because that would take away your free moral agency. That would take away your godship, your gods, right?
That's right.
It would take that away. So, but now they can influence you because Brother Brown said Satan's imps or his power anoints you and tries to what? Divert you into another direction. But if you're a child of God, you're going to come. If God saw you as a child, you're going to come.
Right.
So he does put a protection around you.
Yeah.
Then when that protection goes inside you as the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you walk as the person.
Right.
You are God still.
Yeah.
Right? You just become a child of God, not a child of the devil. Because you were potentially a child of God when you were doing those wrong things, but you weren't a child of God when you were doing them. Because a child of God won't do that. So you got to keep that separate. That Satan anointed you, but you had an anointing. Because that's what's fighting. Brother Brown said, remember the greatest battle ever fought in your mind. It's not something you can see, warfare, shooting, bigger guns. That's what man see, but man has perverted that into trying to build a bigger gun, a bigger bomb, a bigger something to destroy more people. When they see them two prophets over there, when we leave, and them two prophets go to Israel, and they're standing there just two human mortal men. And they're calling fire. They're calling earthquakes. They're calling this. They're calling that all down like we're getting ready to talk in the sixth seal. When they bring all that, man, the people ain't going to understand it. Because they're going to want to know, where's your weapon? You know, where's this secret lab that you've created this power that you can call, you know, fire down and just kill thousands of people at a time? Well, it comes from within because the Bible says fire proceeds from their mouth. Not literal fire, but what? Being able to call, and there's a power behind them because, see, they're anointed to do a job.
Mm-hmm.
They're not anointed to be the bride of Christ.
Right.
You and I are anointed to be the bride of Christ. Take a body change. Take a resurrection. Take a resurrection, body change, rapture.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
They have an anointing. The two prophets. We'll get into the sixth seal next Sunday. A little bit more. They're anointed to do one thing. Call 144,000 out. Now, ever how it happens, we know what happens. That they, you know, they keep... all these nations are want to kill them, you know. Like I said, they've all got these spies that want to kill these two guys.
Right.
And they're not going to be able to kill them until the 1260 days is over. They'll have that anointing. To me, it's the same anointing, and that's something we need to get into maybe a little bit later. We're talking about anointing. Maybe we'll talk about later in the seventh seal, because I believe that's what it would be. There was anointing on Jesus where he couldn't die. Mm-hmm. He didn't become God on the River Jordan. The Holy Ghost didn't come inside of him. The Bible said it came on him.
That's right.
What? For his 3.5 year message, ministry,
amen.
Where they would try to stone him, they would try to throw him off a cliff, and the Bible says he walked through, right through the crowd. Same way as Gehazi and Elisha. Elisha's standing there going, there's more for us than they are against us, and Gehazi's going, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Then he said, oh, open my servant's eyes. And then he saw what? Chariots of fire. Angels way more than that army was.
Right.
Well, Elisha was in that those angels were in that other dimension, making sure Elisha finished his job.
Yeah.
Same way with Jesus, because remember, even when Jesus went into the 40 days into the wilderness, the Bible said that angels ministered to him. Then it said when he went in the Garden of Gethsemane, it said angels ministered to him, right? Yeah. Comforted him.
Right.
Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, that power left him, that 1260 days of the ministry of Jesus left him, so he could die. Because he couldn't die with that anointing on him. So that's what I see. If we come to that anointing, that same anointing, which was the seal, that's what he is, the seal was the seventh seal, preaching, then that 3.5 year message that he preached came over to a little prophet in the end time, Brother Brown. His 1260 days of preaching from 1962, basically to 1965, right? That anointing lifted off of him, and he had to pass away because he was prophetic. He prophesied of a group of people to come. But now you and I are going to have that anointing. I believe if we come to that place of the seventh seal, we're going to have that power, that anointing, that we can't die.
That's right.
And we're just going to go right into a body change, right into a rapture. Mm-hmm. We which are alive and remain,
right,
shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. But you see, once the seal start opening to you, you can put it in every scripture. That's why Brother Brown said the Bible can't brand new book. That's why he said if you don't see Christ in every verse, well, who is the seventh seal? Christ is the seal.
Amen.
So you must see Christ.
That's right.
Even in here.
That's right.
Whosoever there resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Mm-hmm. Ordinance is ordination or ordained. You are ordained for something. Mm-hmm. Brother Brown said one guy ordained for one sermon. John the Baptist ordained for just a little bitty short time, 6 months, preaching, no miracles, but he was ordained to introduce Christ.
That's right.
All right? In the flesh.
Yes, right.
Right? And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. All right? So if you stay on here, you know what you're going to get. But if you come over here, because watch Paul, he says, for rulers are not a terror to good works. Rulers. But to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? See, we're supposed to have a reverent fear of God, but we're not supposed to fear God. Although the Bible says fear God, you're not supposed to fear Him in the way we think fear.
That's right.
Okay? There's a holy fear and a reverence that we know He's up here and He's the Creator.
Amen.
See, that's this man's problem.
Right.
He thinks he can supersede himself up to here.
Amen.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
But now when the very man that said it, though, watch this, when the very man that said it takes this group of people and puts us right here, that's right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't put us above him.
Yeah.
I put him in him.
That's right.
I didn't put us above him. We can't be above the Creator.
That's right.
But when he says we are gods, when he says we're God made manifest in another form called a bride, then that's what he said. Then the Creator can do whatever he wants to.
Yeah.
So we are ordained not to damnation. We're not to rule with terror. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? You've seen that. Rulers really put fear in the people and keep you what? Suppressed.
Right.
See, a ruler will do that. Satan, that's what he does. He tries to keep them, everybody down here. God's trying to get everybody back up there where he is. Amen? God's trying to get us back up to where he is. A true ruler will do that.
That's right.
All right? And how did he do that? He came and died so that we could get back up there. All right? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. In other words, watch. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Alright, in other words, whoever can do that. Excuse me. He that which is good, thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God. Now who's the minister of God? Not Sam Dale. Not Vernon Manahan. It's God.
It's God.
It's God. God is the one that preaches. Because if man gets up and preaches, it's just man.
That's right.
But there's an ordination, or there is a way for us to get back, and it's called a ministry.
Amen.
A fivefold ministry.
Exactly.
To get us perfected. This brings us back to here. So for he is the minister of God to thee for good. That's why Brother Brown said, if your pastor's off the word, that's the only reason you leave. Not because you got a bad song service, not because the person beside you smells bad, not because you don't like this, or that, or the other. No, it's just because of the word.
That's right. Right.
If he's preaching the word, you need to focus on the word.
Amen.
Because that's what's going to change your body, not all this other frivolous stuff. That, to me, that's just frivolous junk.
That's right.
That, you know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's not God.
That's right.
God is not the author of confusion, so let's divide this. There is no confusion on this side of the line. There is total confusion on this side of the line.
Exactly.
So if there is any confusion, it's over here on this side.
Exactly.
Right? But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God. It didn't say A, it says D, so it's talking about the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
See, it doesn't say A minister, it says the minister. A revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now, in other words, you continue to do this, you're going to get, that's why I say, you get an inheritance one way or the other. You got an inheritance on this side, like fire. You got an inheritance on this side, future home, eternal life. And this is totally eternal separation. I didn't say eternal life, I said eternal separation. But once you get on this side, you can't go back. If you're sealed, well, you can't go back. Alright? A revenger to execute wrath on him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. In other words, I've seen churches split, and I've seen problems in other churches, where a person sits in the congregation and thinks they can do a better job than the guy standing up there in the pulpit. That's where you get splits.
Yeah.
You've subjected yourself not to the higher power. You've subjected yourself to this guy. Right?
That's right.
Now listen though, if the preacher's in the pulpit preaching polygamy and two lords and Trinity doctrine, then you're supposed to leave him and do what you do. But if the man's preaching the Word of God in the pulpit every Sunday, every Wednesday, if he's preaching the Word line by line, then if there's somebody in the congregation that thinks they can do a better job, see, that's where you get, and that really, because I've talked to people. Well, I think I can do a better job than he does, so I'm going to take some people and I'm going to go start me another church. Go back to the question, is he preaching the truth? If he's preaching the truth, why do you think you can preach it better than he can?
Right. Right.
But see, we have to be subject. And listen, that's your problem and mine. We hate authority as a human being.
Yeah.
Come on, we don't like authority as human beings. We do not like somebody to tell us what to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know who that is? He didn't like for God to tell him what to do.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Satan didn't. That's why he said iniquity was found in him. What? He thought he could supersede himself and somehow get up here. Because Satan, remember, Satan likes numbers. He likes to gather millions together and thinks by groups of people he can overtake stuff. Then you got two prophets walk out with 7 billion people in the world. Two prophets walk out anointed with the Holy Ghost to do a job, and they can't touch them for 1260 days. That same anointing is going to be on them. Then when that anointing lifts off of them, they're going to be killed, and then they're going to take a rapture. So you kind of get the trend. You'll not die a day before God saw you. And if you're a Christian, the day before God finished with you, or a day after.
That's right.
You'll go the day God is finished with you on this earth. And if you're a Christian and a child of God, you should say, I don't want to stay here, no extra.
Right.
Right?
Right?
But there is some that are ordained not to see that. There are some, and we must have that mentality, that there is somebody that's not going to die. Somebody, death will be conquered on this side, in this dimension. Death's going to be conquered. And when it is, then it's going to bring all the other ones out of the grave.
Exactly.
All right? Brother Luis ran into a doctrine in the Philippines that's about that close to the truth.
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua, but it's that close to the truth. But they're saying they're literally going to walk out to the grave and call the person, and in other words, the ground's going to pop open and the person's going to raise up out of the... They're going to physically raise the dead. I don't think that's true, because it's got to be all secret. Mm-hmm. Got to be a secret coming. This is a secret coming of Christ that nobody in the world knows except people in this message.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People that have the truth of this message. Let me say that. People that have the truth of this message.
Right.
I just believe one day we'll be preaching the true word of God and anointing's going to fall. And we're not going to, I don't think, physically go out to the grave and scream and holler. We'll just be come to a place, we'll come to a position to where they'll just start walking among us. And they'll just come walking in, and we'll recognize them. And I don't think Robert Tatum, which was a deacon here and a longtime member here, I don't think he's going to go to Macon and walk in that church. No, he's going to come among the people that you know.
Yeah.
The people that you know are going to come among the people that have been known while they were alive.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that's a wonderful thing. Because even Brother Brown, the angel, remember, when he went to the church at the time, he said, you'll be gathered with your people. Mm-hmm. Paul's not going to be gathered with Brother Brown's people. Paul's gathered with his people.
Right.
In a dimension, inside a dimension.
Right.
And we've already studied that. Paul did not see Brother Brown, and Brother Brown did not see Paul. Because he said, did Paul make it? Now, if I was looking at Brother Kern, in another dimension, Brother Kern walks up. Well, did Brother Kern make it? No, don't think that way. He didn't see Paul. Paul's gathered with his people. Irenaeus is gathered with his people. Because how did those people that Brother Branham saw get into that dimension? The angel told him, your ministry, your message, these are your people. All Branhams? No, converts. All right, so they were converts to William Branham's message. Sorry. To Jesus Christ's message through William Branham. But it was in that slot that everybody did. We come into the higher power. See, that's where people try to supersede and get in front of Brother Branham. Well, he only knew this, now we know more. No. He was a seventh angel prophet, major prophet.
Amen.
God and him had a one-shot line right down. Amen. And there ain't nobody in between. But see, that's the hierarchy that he accepted. Jesus Christ is the head.
That's right.
I don't mind calling it hierarchy because Jesus Christ is the head.
Amen.
Right, that's right.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And there must not be a problem with it, even in the future home.
That's right.
Because the Bible says kings will come in. Well, now, you got to be a kingdom. You got to have a kingdom to be a king.
That's right.
Right.
Kings are going to come into the city and get the leaves off the tree and go back. Well, now, who's he going to take it back to? The people that he has rulership over. Now, how that is, I don't know, because I know one thing for sure. Our anointing put us in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And we got one bride and one bridegroom and 144,000 to work around in the city. But there's just going to be us in that city, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a wonderful thing. So then we know who our head is. Just like we know, you know, well, that we're married to Christ and Christ is our head.
Right.
He's our hierarchy.
That's right.
But now what he's done is, Brother Brown even said, that we become deity.
Yes.
But that's what God said.
Amen.
We would become deity.
Amen.
All right? We are God on this earth.
That's right.
Because remember, that God and the Holy Ghost you got inside of you is not two different people. Yeah. Same person.
It's same age.
Amen. It's just in a different place.
That's right.
That's right. Right? That's
right. Everybody all right with that? We're not even getting down to where
we're last night. It's all right.
Is that all right?
Good.
Okay. Wherefore, you must needs be subject. We got to be subject.
Amen.
Paul says, wives, subject yourself to your husbands. Now, not totalitarian rulership. You do this or you're going to get one of these, you know. Well, you know what? The Bible says the way you treat your wife is the way God treats you. So God's going to be doing this to you if you don't be careful.
Right.
So treat your wife right and treat your husband right and everything will be good. Right? Amen?
Yes.
All right. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Let me just put a little point in here. Rebecca was talking about Gary being gone for 4 years. She has a head. Her head's Christ.
Right.
See, watch Paul. Paul says, I would that you not even marry. Why? Because, come on, let's be honest. As human, we got God, our husband, and then the bride.
That's right.
It, natural.
That's right.
Natural. June is subject to me. I'm subject to Christ.
Right.
All right? But if Paul says, if you won't get married, then you're subject to God.
Amen.
So that's you're subject to God. So it leaves it to where that a single wife, or even a wife that doesn't have a husband that's serving the message, your headship's Christ.
That's right.
Right.
And Paul said that would be good if you could do that. But now you got to be careful, because we're going to read this if we ever get down to the very bottom. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, because that's the problem with some certain church not letting their priest marry.
Yeah.
They get in trouble with them little boys. Why? Because of the lust of the flesh. There's no Holy Ghost in that person. Everybody all right with that? I mean, really, let's just be honest. We were put here to procreate. We were put here with that sensuality part, but a lot of times you have to be careful. There's a fine line there.
Oh, wait, it's not GPV.
Do what?
It's not GPB either after the husband dies.
Yeah.
In other words, it's not God, the pastor, and then the bride.
No. No, it's God. It's you. You're right there. You know, you're at the...
Some people will be like, well, you know, your husband's dead. I'm your pastor, so I'm your head now. And then...
Yeah, you have to be careful with that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times then you hear about a year or two later that preacher's got about four of them in the congregation and they're not just spiritual head anymore. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. So we have to be careful. Keep it separate.
That's how you do it.
The pastor is your spiritual head.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's not to be, he's not the superseded step between you and Christ.
That's right.
And if he's speaking, then it is Christ talking to you. So, you know, you go back to that. But that's true. We have to watch. Even Paul was not married. Okay, Paul didn't have a wife, he didn't have children, but he knew the lust of the flesh. Because he was telling people, just like down here at the bottom, listen, it's better to marry than to burn. But if you can stay single, be a eunuch to Christ and stay single.
That's right.
Why? Because you can give more time to God. I mean, really, let's be truthful. If you got a husband, we all have needs, wash my clothes and do all this, right? But if you don't have all that, you just do your thing and then, you know, then you can pray. That's why that I believe Brother Brown knew that. That's why a lot of times he said, my success is some widow or some sister getting in the closet and praying. Now, he said that.
Mm-hmm.
So God must have showed him that they were sincere in praying for the meeting and not all this other stuff. But then I go back to John Wesley's mama. John and Charles Wesley's mother had 13 kids.
Yes.
And she raised at least two godly ones out of it. And she had time to read the Bible to them and everything else. And she washed 13 dirty diapers. Well, not 13, but she wore 13 pairs of clothes.
Right.
She didn't have a Maytag. She was out there doing this on the washboard, you know. And I'm sure the kids were like all of us. They weren't very clean.
Yeah.
So they get muddy clothes. They keep the clean. You understand what I'm saying? So you make time for what you make time for.
Amen.
For this cause, pay ye tribute also. So you must pay tribute. We know that Brother Dale is our pastor, so there's no question.
That's right.
All right? And his head is Christ.
Amen.
That's right.
And our head is Christ when it comes to the spiritual part.
Right.
So we have no problem with that. It's when you supersede. Why Brother Brown will say, when we get in our position, know your position. If you're a finger, be the best finger you can be, you know. If you can't preach and you can't do these things, you can at least sit in the pew and pray.
That's right.
All right? Worship and bring the Spirit with you when you come.
That's right.
Not, well, bring the Holy Spirit with you when you come. They don't bring a Spirit with you. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom. And what's he telling? He's telling them, you got a pastor, believe in your pastor, believe in the fivefold ministry. Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
That's right.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Owe no man anything, all right? But to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this one saying. If there's any other commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor. That's what I was telling you last Sunday. That's the hardest thing you can do. Mm-hmm. Is love the people that hate you.
That's right.
It's easy to come to church and love the people that love you.
That's true.
But go out in the world and love those people that literally hate you.
That's right.
Right? So, but you got to love them with the same love that you love our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
That's why that's the... Like I said, that's right there, right before you get up to the headstone. To me, that's the hardest one. That's the hardest one to comprehend. It's to love somebody that literally hates you. And love them with godly love. Don't just say, I love you. Don't just say, I love you. You know that. I love to fish, but that ain't got nothing to do with the love of God. Okay?
Right.
Filial love, agape love, Brother Ram, you know, he sectioned those all off. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of all the law. Because if you love one another, you're not going to kill and do all these things out here. Commit adultery, kill, steal, bear false witness, covet. You're just not going to do that if you have love, the agape love of God in your heart. And that, knowing the time, now it is high time to wake out of sleep. That was 2,000 years ago that was written. Okay? It's high time now that we wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And we ought to know that sensibly. We're closer to the rapture or to the body change or in the resurrection than we ever have been before each day. Right? The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. What is the armor of light? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those in these. Right? Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. All right, let's look right here and see what this word rioting means. It means revelry. We know what drunkenness is. Chambering means licentiousness. Need some help with that.
You know what that is.
Well, look right here. Well, let me say, watch this. Hold on. Stop. No. Stop. Aaron, what does it mean? Define. Hello, here we go. Define. The second day of the trial following... Subsequent succeeding.
It would be the Strong's on it?
Yeah, the Strong's one. We read what Strong's was. It was licentiousness.
That's Strong's right there?
Yeah, that's Strong.
Okay.
Anyway, something you can look up. And we know what wantonness is. It's just lewdness. Not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We finally got through Romans 13. Now remember, like I said before, we're reading this as not chapters.
Yes.
Man put those chapters in here. This is not chapter 14.
Right.
Paul is writing a letter and he's continually writing to the Romans. What we've done is we put a break in there. Human beings put a break in that. But what his whole thought was, look, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. No provision for the flesh. To fulfill the lust thereof. Him that is weak in the faith, so just keep going, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. Mm-hmm. In other words, don't somebody bring somebody in weak. What does it mean? What does licentiousness mean?
Promiscuous.
Don't be I figured that was probably close.
Corrupt, debased, decadent, degenerate, degraded, demoralized, immoral, and indecent.
Okay, I figured that was in there somewhere close to it.
Thank you.
Because licentious is lasciviousness and all that stuff together. So, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. In other words, here's the problem. When we bring a new Christian in, we fill them full of Brother Branham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. We need to fill them full of Christ.
Yeah.
Right.
Brother Branham didn't say, tell you how much a message you know. Mm-hmm. He said, tell them how your fire got lit.
Right.
Christ lit your fire, Brother Branham didn't.
That's
amen?
Right.
Yeah. So that's what that means. If you bring in somebody new into the faith, don't just keep Brother Bram said, Brother Bram said, Brother Bram said. They can listen, if they get the Holy Ghost, I guarantee you, they'll know what Brother Bram said. Okay? But the problem is, we bring them in and put them in the message. Don't do this, do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Get them to repent. Get them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they'll receive the Holy Ghost, right?
Right.
That's a promise to receive the Holy Ghost after you've been baptized, after you've repented, and then let them sit and listen. But don't sit there and, what's the problem? You bring people in, and doesn't happen in this church, but other churches, they bring them in, they just fill them full of what they're saying. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. And then some little something, they'll hear, well, he might have been wrong over here. Mm-hmm. Or he might have been. Well, now listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, one thing, he never was wrong.
Right.
He didn't say, I'll almost fill you with the Holy Ghost. He said, I'll fill you with the Holy Ghost, and I'll teach you things to come.
Right.
I'll be the one that teaches you.
And then they'll look on the internet and they'll pull up Brother Branham and they'll find.
Right. And then if they don't get the Holy Ghost before that, then you've just bruised fruit. You've just got somebody that just pushes it all away.
Mm-hmm.
But let them see Christ.
Right.
And then. But that's the problem. See, doubtful disputations is what happens now. You bring them in, and you don't even have to just hear it from the pulpit. You can just somebody in a, you know, say, well, we're going to take this brother out to eat. We're going to take the brother out to eat. They tell them how bad the pastor is. They tell them how bad this is, how bad this is going on, what's going on. Bring them in and be gentle with them.
That's right.
They're babies. Be gentle with the babies. All right, let's go. We'll start with 14 next Sunday.